Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 21 to 29. For those of you who are here for the first time, this is what we do. We teach through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, from Genesis to Revelation. And on Sunday mornings, we are in the book of Acts. On Wednesdays, God's will, this Wednesday, we'll be wrapping up the book of Joshua and going into Judges. Just going through the Word. It's just so exciting. And Father, we pray that as we go through the Word today, we pray that your Word will go through us. Change us, Lord. Make us more like you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us. And Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 7, looking at verses 21 to 29, the title of this message is Into the Heart, Part 1. Into the Heart, Part 1. Now, my desire is that this message is a source of encouragement to those of you who are parents and you try to raise your children in the ways of God. You're not seeing them walk in righteousness. The story of Moses will give you hope. And if you don't have children, then maybe you're the Moses that a parent is praying for right now. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. And we're going to see that as we get into the message. Now, we left off last week with Stephen giving a history lesson to the Jewish Supreme Court called the Sanhedrin. They charged him with speaking blasphemous words against the holy place, referring to the temple, the law, referring to the law of Moses, and against Moses and God himself. According to Acts chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. And so Stephen is answering all of these charges one by one. Now he is answering the charges against Moses. And after Stephen told them how the Jewish people got to Egypt because there was a famine in the land of Canaan, God raised up Joseph to be second in command in Egypt. And after that generation died off, there arose a king who didn't know Joseph or didn't know Joseph's God. And he felt threatened by how the Israelites were multiplying numerically. So he ordered the Israelite midwives, to kill all the male babies, according to verse 19. But Moses was born in verse 20. And however, after 3 months, they knew that they could not hide the loud cries of a baby boy. So they made a basket and put him on the Nile River, hoping and praying that someone will find him and have mercy on him. Now, where did Jochebed, Moses' mother, get the idea of putting him in a floating basket before she put him on the Nile River? Oh, I suggest to you that she, being a woman of God, meditating on the scriptures, knew another family in danger during dark times who was also in an ark before destruction came, and that was Noah. I bring this to your attention to point out how daily meditating on the scriptures can help us in very practical ways and give us hope during dark times. Oh, this is so important to study, because Jochebed knew how it felt to have her child swept away by the Nile River of this world. And so make studying the Bible a daily habit. Daily habit, because if you don't, you will be swept away with the worry of this world. I'm telling you. The scriptures have a way of giving us daily practical application for our lives today. And I guarantee you, you meditate on the Word of God in the morning, it will be that word that you hide in your heart in the morning will be what God will use in someone's life throughout the day, maybe even your own life. Now, Stephen is answering the accusation that he blasphemed Moses by praising him and saying that he was well-pleasing to God. So what happened to Moses? We found him on the Nile River as a little baby, floating on in a basket, hoping and praying that his mother, hoping and praying that someone will find him. Let's see what happened. Look what it says there in verse 21. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. You can't tell me that God isn't in control of the events of this world. Out of all of the people to find baby Moses, Pharaoh's daughter found him and adopted him as her own son. The daughter whose dad ordered the killing of all of the Jewish male babies takes this one, raises him as her own. Oh, I believe Psalm 2:4 more than ever when I see stories like this one that says, God who sits in the heavens shall laugh. God sits in heaven and laughs at man trying to rule himself, trying to control his own destiny. God said, okay, you're going to destroy all the male babies? All right. I will put it into the heart of your own daughter to love this baby boy and raise him in your royal palace. Then God was probably saying, I'm going to laugh even harder because according to Exodus chapter 2 in verses 1 through 10, Miriam, Moses' sister, when Pharaoh's daughter found the basket floating in the Nile River, she said, hey, do you want me to get a Hebrew nurse for baby Moses? She said, yes, that would be a great idea. She goes and gets Moses' mother. So Moses' mother gets paid to nurse and raise her own baby. I tell you, God is amazing how he worked this out. I know God must have been cracking up in heaven. This is why the old folks used to say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. God must have been in heaven said, I'm going to get a real good kick out of this. The very Pharaoh that ordered the killing of all the babies, God put it in her heart to have compassion on Moses and raises the boy in her daddy's palace and then gets the mother to nurse him. You can't make this up. You can't make this stuff up here. This is amazing. Or well, let's see what else happened. Look what it says there in verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. According to this verse, Moses was learned in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. And Stephen continues to show his respect for Moses by saying at the end of this verse that he was mighty in words and deeds. Now we know that Egypt is a picture or type of the world in the Bible. And Moses came from a godly home, but here he was trained in all of the wisdom of the Egyptians. He went to the worldly universities. In other words, he went to public school. From elementary through high school and through their colleges or higher learning. Oh, some scholars suggest that Moses was probably being groomed to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. And maybe this is how you feel about your child or your children. You couldn't afford to send them to Christian school. You definitely couldn't homeschool them. That was definitely out. So you feel guilty that you have or had to send your children to public school to be trained in all of the wisdom of Egypt or this world. And now they come home from college, mighty in words and deeds, like the end of this verse says. The guilt sets in deeper and the condemnation comes because they now talk like the world. and they want nothing to do with the faith that you raised them believing. I want you to take heart because Isaiah 55 and verse 11 said that God's word would not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which it was sent out to do. And that word you exposed them to as children will come back into their hearts. Well, how can I be so sure? Well, look at verse 23. It says, now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. I want to draw your attention to the first part of verse 23 where it says, but when he was 40 years old, Moses's life can be divided into three groups of 40. You understand he died at 120. He spent the first 40 years thinking that he was a somebody, being raised in all the wisdom and the knowledge of the Egyptians. Then he spent 40 years in the desert that God's will we will see next week, realizing that he was a nobody. And then the last 40 years he spent seeing how God can take a nobody and make somebody out of him. What stage of life are you in presently? Are you still trying to be a somebody? Trying to seek as many degrees as possible to try to validate yourself and prove to yourself and that and your family that you are somebody? Or are you in the stage where, like Moses, you have been learned in all of the wisdom and knowledge of Egypt and you're still empty, you're still unfulfilled? Or are you realizing how God can take a nobody like you and make a somebody out of you? Well, this is where I find myself today. A nobody that God is doing extraordinary things through. Oh, I understand what 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this great treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence may be of God. The excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. It's all about the great treasure in us, who is Jesus Christ. And all we are earthen vessels. You know what that earthen vessel, the Greek word can be translated? Crackpots. All of we are crackpots. That's all we are. See, that's all we are in this world. See, you think you're more than that. You think you're all that. And you're just a crackpot with a great treasure in you. And that treasure is Jesus Christ. It's not about you and how you can be seen and how accolades and pats on the back can constantly go to you. It's not about you. The focus is on the great treasure in us, which is Jesus Christ. And Moses found this out as well. Notice the second part of verse 23 where it says, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. The question is, how did it come into his heart to visit his brethren? He was brought up in the schools and the universities of Egypt. Like I said, possibly being groomed to be the next Pharaoh. So how did it come into his heart to go to the children of Israel? Do you remember that godly mother, Jochebed? She nursed baby Moses and was instilling into his heart about the knowledge of the God of Israel, the God who preserved Noah and his family, the God that preserved Abraham as he went out from Ur to go to a land that he didn't know where God was sending him, the God who protected Joseph when he was sold into slavery. This is the same God, baby Moses, who protected you from death and from the Nile River and has a plan for your life. Oh, let me tell you, always whisper to your children, tell them in their ears that God has a plan for their life. If they will seek him, he shall be found by them. If they search for him with all of their heart, tell them God has a wonderful plan for them. Seek God to see what that plan is. Tell your children that. When you always tell them you're no good, you'll never amount to anything, you're ruining them because that's what happened to you. somebody kept telling you that you're no good and all that, you tell them God has a plan for their life. This is what she was instilling into the heart of baby Moses as she was nursing him. So she trained up Moses in the way he should go. And when he was 40 years old, it came back into his heart. No matter how much of Egypt he was taught, don't think that she stopped praying for him, because she didn't. Don't stop praying for your children either, no matter how old they are, no matter how old they get. Never stop praying for them. Never stop. And this is an encouraging word for those of you who have trained up your children in the ways of the Lord and they seem to be out there. You're feeling guilty and condemned that you sent them to learn in the schools of Egypt, in the university of the world. Learn from Moses. It came into his heart when he was 40 years old. 40 years old, yeah, but it still came. Nonetheless, it came. It still came. So don't lose heart. Keep praying for them that God will bring it to their hearts. It came into Moses' heart. And as I mentioned at the very beginning, maybe you're here today and you're the Moses that some parent or grandparent is praying for right now, even as you sit here, praying that that word that they instilled in your heart will come back into your heart, that it will resurface. You may say, oh, this is a message for parents and children. I'm single. I don't have any children. But maybe you're the Moses that some parent instilled the word of God in you, and they just praying that it will resurface again back into your heart, just like it did Moses here. Oh, let's see what else happened. Look at verses 24 to 29. It says, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they didn't understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting. And he tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you're brethren. Why do you do wrong to one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away and said, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Now, in these verses, we see that Moses left the comforts and luxuries of the palace to be with the Jewish people in the blistering hot sun of making bricks, with whips laid against their backs, building Egyptian cities. And Moses sees an Egyptian in verse 24 suffer wrong, so he defended and avenged him and struck down and killed the Egyptian. Now, I'm sure that Moses thought that they would immediately hoist him up on their shoulders and shouting, hail to Moses, our deliverer from Egyptian bondage. But verse 25 says, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they didn't understand, or they rejected him. And the reason why Stephen is bringing this up, he is saying that just like you religious leaders rejected Jesus, these people rejected Moses, and guess what? You're rejecting me. You have a history of rejecting people God sent to you. And this is why he is bringing this up. Now, what gave Moses this idea that he would be the deliverer? Did God tell him that he was going to be the deliverer? Or in his pride, he thought in his own strength and might, he could deliver them? Oh, I think it was a little of both. I believe that God put it in his heart, but it wasn't the right time, because he needed to be prepared first. And so in his pride and in his own energy, no doubt being groomed to be the next Pharaoh, he was trained as a soldier and trained to battle and to fight and those kinds of things. And in his own energy, he went out to try to deliver his people in his own strength. and nothing fruitful came from it. He needed to be prepared, or he needed to be broken, so he would rely on God's power and not his own. Oh, maybe the reason why you're not seeing fulfilled what God has spoken to your heart, because you're trying to do it in your own power, your own strength, your own intellect that you learned from the universities. And God says, you're not ready. You're not ready yet. He has to break you so you can rely on his strength, his power. Because if you go out in your own power, you will take the credit. And God said, no, 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 Moses. I need to break all that down. All that stuff you learned that you thought was so good to help you deliver your people. God said, I'm not going to use any of it. Any of it. You got to be broken of that, Moses. And this is what happened. And God had to break him. It wasn't the right time for him. And this is why God sent them to Midian. He wasn't ready. Yes, God said, you're the deliverer. But he said, okay, all right. So this is why I learned all this stuff at the university. This is why I was being groomed like this so I can deliver my people. God said, not right. He wasn't ready. Verse 26 tells us that the very next day, two Israelites were fighting. And Moses tried to break them up and said, hey, don't fight each other. You're brothers. You're brethren. The troublemaker pushed the other one away and said in verse 28, do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses knew that his murder was widely known, and he had to flee to the desert in Midian, according to verse 29, where he had two sons. So here is Moses. In the desert, depressed, feeling like a failure, because God told him that he would be the deliverer, but he failed. He failed. And maybe God has spoken to your heart about something, but you failed. And you're like, God, I thought you spoke that to my heart. I thought this is what the deal is. This is what's going to happen. And God said, I spoke to your heart, but you're not ready yet. Before God sends a man, he prepares a man. God has to prepare. God spoke to my heart that I was going to be a senior pastor. It took 10 years to prepare me before I came here in 1994. 10 years of preparation to prepare me to do what I'm doing now. 10 years. So yes, God can speak to you, but sometimes when God speaks to us, we get so excited, we want to jump out there right now. And God said, no, 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 I just want to let you know, just start getting your heart ready. But you're not ready, son. You're not ready, daughter. You're not ready yet. Oh, I know you want to be married. You're not ready. Because the very guy you praying about, if I allow y'all to meet, you mess him up. You're not ready. You mess that dude up. Cause the guy, kind of guy you praying about? Oh, that godly guy, the good looking guy, the guy that's the strapping, you know, dashing, and all that sort of mess you praying about? You're not ready to be his wife. And this is why God has to prepare you, get you ready. This is why I'm still single. It's because you're not ready. You get somebody and jack him up, mess him up. You can't, no, you're not ready. Somebody needs to hear that today. That's not in my notes. Yeah. Oh, it goes the other way around too, you know. It goes the other way around, you know. You praying for that girl, the nice girly figure and all that sort of stuff, godly. She loves Jesus. You definitely not ready. You would definitely send her walk with God south for the winter. So you're not ready either. That's why you're still single. But then what happens is we try to help God out. Just like Abraham and Sarah, God said, you're going to have a son. When God takes too long, we try to help God out and you end up with an Ishmael. You sit next to him, aren't you? You sit next to Ishmael. You were looking for Isaac. But you couldn't wait, and now you got Ishmael, the flesh. Oh, boy. I'll leave y'all alone this morning. It's early. It's early. This is the kind of stuff I say third service, but it's early. So, God said you were not ready, and he had to send Moses to the desert. So what happened next? Well, you got to wait until next time. And we'll see what happened when he was in the desert. And we're going to have some fun next week. We see what happened with him in the desert. Let me conclude with this. Into the desert, or as you were, into the heart. We're going to the desert next week. I can tell you that. Into the heart. David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you take the time to hide God's word in your children's heart, it will come back into their hearts when they're 25, 30, or even 40 years old, like Moses. It doesn't matter how much they have learned or have been learned in all the wisdom and knowledge of Egypt. God's word plus your prayers will bring that word back into their hearts. So don't lose heart. God's word is more powerful than the wisdom of Egypt. Start while they're young and pour God's word into their hearts. I was thinking about this, and I remember Tony Jr. And, you know, when he was 2 years old, he knew Psalm 23 at 2 years old. He was an early talker. And so at 2 years old, I said, oh, I'm going to pour this word into him. And so he was 2 years old. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me lie down in green pastures, letting me pass his walk. But he was quoting it. Psalm 23, 2 years old. I never forget it. And my daughter, Erin, before she entered kindergarten, had over 50 scriptures memorized before she entered kindergarten. Cause see, I taught them ABC scriptures. Each letter is a scripture. And I taught them like two, at that time it was about two different sets of ABC scriptures. Had the word of God in their hearts. It's never too young. Tony Jr.'s daughter, Bad Bella. I was just reading to her a little children's Bible. It just took me back to when I was reading to her dad, little children's Bible. I thought I was going to have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful quiet evening. Friday night, my sister-in-laws came in town for my wife's birthday. And so I said, oh, this is a glorious evening. I'm a quiet time in prayer and reading. Great time. Ring, ring. Thought it was Tony Jr. I said, hello? Hey, Dad. Can you watch Bella for me? I said, huh? Did you watch Bella? Mom told me to call you. And she's out with her sisters. So it was me, Mickey Mouse, the children's Bible, Mickey Mouse on TV, and children's Bible and Bella. As I'm reading her these stories, just amazing. It just took me back. They're never too young. They're never too young to learn the word. She's about to be two next week. And you better believe I'm going to be Psalm 23. I'm starting you off. You already can talk like you're 20 years old. So we're going to put this word in your heart just like we did your dad. So it's never too young. they're never too young. Pour that word into their hearts. And when they are whatever age, it'll come back. It'll come back. It'll come back. So don't lose heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. We pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would teach us this word. Draw us to you by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you will move now, Lord. You have spoken a word into our hearts. So, Lord, we pray that that word will resurface into our hearts. I pray for anyone here who has not repented of their sin and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray for those who need to come home to you today. I pray, Lord, draw them to you by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.